Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career, life, and retirement coach. I'm currently working with those who are either retired or planning to in the near future. And one of the challenges that so many face is finding that feeling of purpose when they have left their career identities. And unfortunately, many have forgotten what they love to do or would want to invest their times doing. So they end up filling their days with mundane chores and appointments, and that just kind of becomes their new normal. And that can become pretty unfulfilling when time goes on, especially at a time that as they had somewhat planned somewhere in their career lives to do so many of the things that they had looked forward to getting to do. That being said, I met my guest the other day up at Schweitzer. A friend of mine who is a mountain host suggested that I tag along to join a tour that he was giving to see if I might be interested in joining a ski group like the one that he was hosting that morning. And as he went around asking the group where they lived, my guest today said he was homeless and he had been for about 3 years. Needless to say, I was a little bit surprised by his answer. The host was as well, and rather than ask any further questions, he moved on to the next member of the group. And me, with my curiosity, it got the best of me, and I made my way to the spot in the line so I could ask my guest a bit more about that. And what I discovered, I found absolutely fascinating, and possibly a solution for some who are looking for meaning and fulfillment in their retirement. My guest today is Barry Keeney. He works in the world of Medicare insurance while getting to participate quite extensively in some of the things that he loves as someone who is also in some ways homeless. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Barry's going to join us and share his inspiring and motivating story that might just appeal to some of our listeners. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you're a private landowner with even a couple of acres of timber, it's wise to periodically hire a professional logger to assess your property for threat of wildfire and disease. Then, work to minimize those threats with highly selective thinning. Careful, strategic thinning of the timber on your property not only helps minimize the risk of wildfire, disease, and pest infestation, but encourages new growth for long-term sustainability. Since 1990, Sierra Logging has been working with private landowners to help protect their assets. Property lines are clearly defined, roads carefully established or maintained. Leftover slash and brush is methodically piled on the site, dutifully cleaned up afterwards. Log truck drivers are courteous and sensitive to landowners and their neighbors. And you, as a landowner, are paid directly by the sawmill. No middleman, ever. Phone Sierra Logging for a free consultation at 509-671-1158 or visit sierralogging.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
If you develop land, you know the frustration, the lot that won't perk, the soil that stops a good project in its tracks. Before you walk away, call EcoJohn. Our discharge-free wastewater evaporation systems can open up properties traditional septic systems can't handle, giving developers and investors a new path forward. No mound systems, no drain field, no sewer. More buildable lots, fewer surprises, better returns. Septic John by EcoJohn. Build where others can't. Visit SepticJohn.com or call EcoJohn today to learn more.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I was lucky. We caught this at the very earliest stages. Pieces of my past are being erased.
Bright Focus Foundation's Alzheimer's Disease Research Program has invested more than $175 million in breakthrough research. Call us at 1-855-345-6237 or visit us online at brightfocus.org/brainhealth to learn more.
Spring at the co-op means seed potatoes and onion sets. Patty has Stuttgarter yellow and Ebenezer white onion sets due to arrive mid-March. Both are long day varieties suitable to our North Idaho growing season. We expect to have 6 varieties of seed potatoes this year, also arriving in mid-March, including the new Huckleberry Gold and Lasota Red varieties. Huckleberry Gold is prized for its low glycemic index. We have some soil amendments already in the parking lot, as well as peat moss, garden straw, and large bags of coarse perlite and vermiculite. And don't forget, we have plenty of garden tools, gloves, hats, hose repair items, and drip irrigation parts in stock now. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
News Talk 97.1, KSBT, KBFI.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career, life, and retirement coach. My guest today is Barry Keeney, and he works in the world of Medicare insurance while getting to participate quite extensively in the things that he loves as someone who is in some ways homeless. And what I am so excited about is that he gets to live a rather adventurous and, for me, somewhat enviable life. So welcome, Barry. So glad to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yes. So anyways, I'm going back to when I first met you and you said, you know, that you were homeless and that you had been so for about 3 years. That just was so interesting to me. And then when I got to hear more about exactly how you do that, and I don't know all the missing puzzle pieces, but it's just so intriguing to me. And I think it you could be onto something. So I just was very anxious to get the opportunity to share it with my audience.
Cool. Yeah. I'm anxious as well.
Yeah, great. So anyway, can we just back up a little bit and maybe talk a little bit about how your career life developed? Because a lot of my audience is all over the map with where they are in their careers. And so you never know who you might be speaking to directly. So if you could just kind of share a little bit about how your career path developed.
Well, all right. That sounds pretty fun. So that means we'll start kind of early. I am an Oregonian from years past. I grew up in Portland, went to school, University of Oregon, got a couple degrees to build things. So my career, per se, was all architecture and construction management, several good companies, married my high school sweetheart and had four children and kind of did the normal working career, living career in the Pacific Northwest. So then we ran into some changes in our life, which are stories of their own. But I changed my entire work career from all of that construction stuff to the world of Medicare and joined a company called Humana, which, you know, quite a few retirees are familiar with their Medicare insurance. I'll say 17 years ago. And that took some going back to school, relearning, doing a new set of testing, all that. And since then, that career has brought me to a divorce, which kind of happens once in a while.
Yes, and then it does.
Owning a bunch of houses and selling those. And now the joke, of course, or at least the little cute thing that I like to tell people is, yeah, I am homeless. I've sold all my houses. All I live in now is a nice Ford truck and a fifth-wheel trailer. And I move around our beautiful United States while still working in the field of Medicare insurance.
That is such a diverse path. I don't even know all the parts of that, but I love it. And that was quite a jump to go from architecture and construction to healthcare insurance. So, and I know you said there's a little bit of a story there. I'm not sure if that's something that you want to share, but just kind of curious if that was something that, you know, you was heart driven or just kind of you stumbled into it and found it interesting.
Well, let me make it more fun. I mentioned four children. The first is a boy. I have twin girls that are 3 years behind him, and then another boy several years down the line. So the firstborn He taught himself how to play golf through junior high and high school and got a college scholarship to UNLV in Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right.
So it was all right for us to send him from our, at the time we were growing up in Seattle at that time. He was able to go and do a great career type of thing college-wise. Then my twin daughter said, you know what, Dad, we want to go to college and be with our brother in UNLV, Las Vegas. And I kind of said to the hell no. It's okay for boys to be down there, but I can't let 18-year-old girls go to Las Vegas. Well, long story less long. They talked me into it because they were committed to a hotel management type of program, of which they both said they're going to do it together and they'll get A's and B's and they'll be done in 4 years and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, okay, I guess I'm sold on that because I want you to chase your rainbow and be the people that you want to be, but I'm coming with you. So me and the whole family loaded up trucks the next month and bought a house in a place called Henderson, Nevada, and moved those girls down there because they needed to be shuttled back and forth to school like, you know, like grade school kids, because that's a very dangerous place, in my opinion. So that's okay. How we got to Nevada. After a few years, unfortunately, my 28-year marriage had come to an end where we just agreed that we probably aren't going to pursue the next 40 or 50 years together because of some differences in how we want to live after kids. And one of those is I want to wander around and see all the things that I had clipped, all these pictures and articles of all these state parks and national parks and beaches all over the United States. And she didn't want to do that as much. So we went our separate ways. And then that's when I decided to change my career because I was kind of, you know, changing anyway. And, you know, it just worked out really well. I had a friend who became my boss. He suggested, Barry, you'll be very happy if you get into Medicare insurance. That's kind of his thing. He says, I can't get you the job, but you'll get that job on your own. All you got to do is pass the exams. We'll get you on board. So some time ago now, 17 years ago, I started with that career path. And it worked out really well the first few years, got a lot of clients, and I still today have many of those clients, lots and lots of clients through Medicare insurance. So, and it all happened basically on those longer transition, life-changing types of decisions.
Yes, yes, that we do. Well, but I love that you were able to marry your, you know, your passion for travel and, you know, getting to kind of freewheel it a little bit with a career that, well, and I don't know how interesting it is and how much you love it, but I'm going to ask you that next. But it seems like a good pairing because you don't necessarily have to be face-to-face for that career. Am I correct?
Well, you're correct on almost all levels. I try to meet every single client. Mm. And over my 17 years, I've had about 5,000 of them, but I've met every single one. Usually the first meeting, the first introduction, so I can teach them and train them and sort of show them all the different pieces of their insurance and also start a friendship. And then I also plug my name and phone number into their smartphone so that when I call them, I'm not a spam call. I'm a friend. So I try to meet everybody in person, but then it is quite seasonal. Anybody that's at the retirement age knows that the enrollment season is typically just in October, November.
Right.
And there are other times of the year to do a little bit of work. And in fact, right now I am in Laughlin, Nevada, doing a little bit of work Medicare-wise today, picking up on stuff that needs to be done in April. So there's a little bit of work, but for the most part, I've got 9 months to sort of wander around and camp and fly. I fly someplace about every week, every other week. You and I met on a chairlift up there in your neck of the woods, of which, you know, I just chasing the snowflakes back then a couple months ago.
Yep.
We didn't have a lot of snow, so I flew up to Lake Tahoe and then over to Sandpoint and then down to, I flew from there, Spokane, down to Sun Valley and spent a few days in Sun Valley. And, you know, that's kind of how I get my ski season in now. I don't want to drive all that way. So.
Right. That's ideal,
adventures.
I think. You know, you see a lot of those people with their Sprinter vans and their skis, and, you know, you think, well, you know, that's one way to do it, but there's also flying around just like you did, and sometimes I think you get a better opportunity to find where the snow is, especially during a season like this.
Right. Yeah. So that's my story. I'm living in this beautiful fifth wheel trailer. I park it different times of the year in different parts of our country. And so it's not always on the move. I was just in Mesa, Arizona for 3 months for the winter. But I use that Phoenix airport probably 12 times over the last 3 months. I mean, about every other week I'm going to see one of my children. I have 8 grandchildren. So I fly around and buy them bicycles for their birthdays and stuff like that. And I'm on my way now to Washington State. So I'll be spending a month or two up there, living in the trailer.
Oh, beautiful. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so then, like with the Medicare insurance thing, then you said you don't have to work so much all throughout the year. So that gives you a lot of the freedom to do some of the things that you get to do with your clubs and organizations.
Yes.
Which is awesome. And so just very quickly, what is it that you, what keeps you inspired and motivated to do the Medicare insurance thing? What's the draw for you?
Well, once you get established and you've got a book of business, they call it, then like all insurance products, you get paid every month. So I have a monthly paycheck that's basically the same almost every month, even though I do most of my work in the fall. So the residual that you get by having an insurance business, whether it's the property and casualty insurance or even life insurance type products, or in my case, Medicare insurance, the insurance companies pay us every month to be available for the clients. So I do take calls. I do mail out a couple things. And so I do a little work, but for the most part, it's pretty easy. But it's the draw is the money. I would recommend anybody take a look at trying to buy an insurance business, you know, somebody else's book of business or have an Allstate business, you know, something. Because that's what I have found to be so rewarding is I don't have to show up at the office or punch a clock. I'm able to be on the beach and take a call, make some notes, return that later or somehow manage all that little bit of activity, and I can be anywhere. I was just in the Caribbean 2 weeks ago. Got 2 or 3 calls while I was down in St. Thomas. Big deal. This normal phone work is what we do these days. So I'm a remote worker.
I love that. And that probably also takes the pressure off of the insurance companies, the actual organizations from having to field calls. You guys just kind of get to be the middlemen.
Yeah,
so
that's
to speak,
right.
Which is, and I would imagine that once you know the stuff, that's not that hard to do.
It's experience comes with time. I've already mentioned how much time I've been in it now, and happy. I'll probably spend at least another 6 or 7 years. It's easy for me to think of that because of the lighter work schedule, we call it. But I do, during the fall period of time, I do write up between 100 and 200 contracts.
Wow.
Much of it's email. Some of it's just regular mail. And then I visit with clients quite a bit during that period of time. But other than that, my time is mine.
Yeah, and you can take off and hit the Caribbean if you feel like it. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And you can make you can make everybody a little bit envious while you're on the phone doing your job. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had a few people that have suggested that, wow, you have found a sweet spot for making a living and having a good time. And I like to think that I have 10 sports that I enjoy. I turn 70 next month, but I still, rock climb and mountaineer and bicycle, mountain biking, obviously skiing and tennis and golf and all the rest, the things that healthy people are interested in doing.
Yes.
So I get to do all of those.
I love that. Such a good mentor you are for us. Anyway, we need to go to break. So we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the organizations that you're in and all the fun things you get to do. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sounds great.
For a different approach to spaying or neutering your dog, at VCA North Idaho Animal Hospital, we offer ovary-sparing spays and vasectomies, modern options that provide sterilization while preserving your pet's natural hormones. Hormone-sparing procedures may benefit working and competition dogs, and certain breeds like Golden Retrievers, where maintaining hormone levels can support long-term health. Curious if it's right for your pet? Call today to schedule a consultation with Dr. Talitha Nayer at VCA North Idaho Animal Hospital, because your pet's health deserves personalized care.
You love your land, and you have plans for it. During Kubota Orange Days, you'll love the great deals on our versatile, reliable lineup, helping you turn dream projects into reality. Visit your Kubota dealer today for the best deals of the year. Now through June 30th, zero down and up to 84 months financing available, and save up to $5,500 off select compact tractors. Sale in soon. Stop by your local dealer or go to gokubota.com.
Visit AdamsTractor.com or swing by one of our five locations to find your Kubota today.
All children deserve the best start. That includes good oral health. As life milestones are met, ensure they visit dental specialists at ages 1, 7, and 15. Around age 1, it's time for a visit with a pediatric dentist to help establish good oral health habits. At 7, it's time to see an orthodontist to ensure your child's bite, teeth, and jaws are developing properly. Around 15, it's time for a visit to an oral and maxillofacial surgeon to determine if your child's wisdom teeth need to be removed or monitored. Remember, milestones met, healthy teeth set. Visit specialists at ages 1, 7, and 15. Make these appointments at the right time to ensure a proper foundation for good oral health. Learn more at milestonesmet.com.
Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks.
Portugal, The Man, on Saturday, August 1st. Don't miss Portugal, The Man, in Sandpoint, Idaho, on August 1st. Tickets go on sale this Friday at festival@sandpoint.com. Don't miss Portugal the Man in Sandpoint, Idaho on August 1st.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I was lucky. We caught this at the very earliest stages. Pieces of my past are being erased.
Bright Focus Foundation's Alzheimer's Disease Research Program has invested more than $175 million in breakthrough research. Call us at 1-855-345-6237 or visit us online at brightfocus.org/brainhealth to learn more.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. My guest today is Barry Keeney, and he is in the Medicare insurance profession, and he is also living a homeless life that is just full of adventure and activity. And I think one of the things I'm especially appreciative of, Barry, is the fact that I think you're being a really good role model for your clients as well by living an active lifestyle and doing the best you can to kind of keep yourself healthy. Did that play into your decision making at all as far as kind of embarking upon this lifestyle?
Being healthy has been my goal ever since I was a teenager, of course. In fact, I'm about at my teenage weight, so I have never really been unhealthy or inactive. I'm always doing something, you know?
Yes.
So it does play into how I lead my lifestyle, what I eat, sort of the daily, you know, water regime and vitamins and all of that. Yes, because I like to go to the doctor once a year and have the doctor say, "What the heck are you doing here? I want to see sick people, not you healthy people." So I love that.
Yes, exactly. Well, and then, you know, and I don't know how much you share with your clients about how you live and that you do stay active, but, I do think that that's one of the perhaps a pitfall of retirement, is that people do tend to get so much more sedentary because they have more time on their hands and they don't necessarily know what to do with it. So sometimes TV and, you know, other just kind of sedentary things creep into their lives.
I agree. And in fact, I usually tell people I don't watch TV. Two of my kids don't even have them yet. So it's just not been the normal thing for us to be sedentary. I do advocate the things I mentioned, good vitamin routine, walking 4 or 5 miles a day. Some people can't, but, you know, obviously that would be a start. It's fresh air and just getting them out is how I see it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And yeah, I think it just becomes, you know, if you have an opportunity to pursue those things, you're much more likely to do them. And so that just kind of leads me to, how did you become involved in the organizations that you are, and which ones are you involved in?
Well, so when somebody's starting a business, per se, and as an agent, you really start your own business. Networking is a big deal. Networking with the circle that makes sense. It starts with, you know, in this case, knowing some doctors, kind of knowing some clinics, being aware of all the services that your insurance company would provide. And then I actually took my desire to have more clients to some networking groups all around the Southern Nevada area. Like LATIP and BNI group and Chamber of Commerce, you know, much of those kinds of groups to help my first 5 years of pioneering the business, we'll say. So I'm not as active anymore. I'm not in Nevada very often, only in the fall where my clients are. So I'm not a regular any longer, but I do advocate for people if they want to have a business such as independent insurance sales that, you know, you need to network and get out there and let people know what you're doing and trade cards, you know, and stay in touch with them. Yeah. So I think that's kind of how I got my start.
And so now, as far as being an insurance agent, then, so are you pretty much just licensed in one state, and, or can you just get licensed in, like, if you're traveling to Idaho, would you be likely to get licensed there as well?
It's easy enough to do. I'm licensed in two states only, and that's for the interest that I have in Southern Nevada. So I'm licensed in Nevada and Arizona, and it would only be really for the western edge of Arizona next to Nevada. I have a lot of clients that cross over. But you can, obviously, somebody wants to build a business, if they're going to stay a bit of their time in one of their other home states or home cities, you can be licensed in more than one. And I just have chosen to have two licenses, and it's worked out. That fills up my time. You know, you can only have so many clients.
That's true. That is true. And you can only be so many places without tapping into your playtime. But so, so I know you're in the ski club. So tell us a little bit about what benefits being in a ski club offer, and how one might go about getting involved in one.
Gosh, great question. Ski clubs are sort of in, I think, most all major metropolitan areas and in ski communities, of course. And then there's a West Coast group that I guess call a club, but it's the Far West Ski Association. You don't even have to belong to a city ski club to belong to the Far West, which they do big trips. They take 300 or 400 people on each of their events, whether it's skiing or a cruise or go to Europe or hike in the Himalayas. I mean, they do a variety of things. But I would recommend anybody who wants to network and maybe gain some friendships with like interests to join their local ski club. And, you know, usually they'll meet once a month for a social time, and then they'll plan, you know, 4, 5, 6 trips. So I belong to 2 ski clubs, one in Phoenix, one in Las Vegas, and they work together. I mean, they're kind of like they all know each other, too. Once you become a member of a ski club, and if you're involved in organizing trips and things, then you kind of get to know everybody else. So I'm active in both ski clubs. I actually help run trips and do things that are fun. For example, I'll just give you one. I actually chartered two houseboats on Lake Powell that sleep about 12 people each. And I took a group of, I think it was 26 people for a week out on Lake Powell in the summertime.
Wow.
And it was terrific. I mean, a whole week we had all the food and all the insurances and all the gas and all the beer and wine you could drink and everything. And it cost each person $650.
Wow. And that's through your ski group.
It was a ski club event, yes.
So basically you guys just kind of hang out together on the slopes and maybe get to know each other. And so then that spills over into other activities that people might want to enjoy together.
Yeah. Yeah. I play tennis with some ski club members, and I do all kinds of other activities with them as well.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And is that pretty typical?
Well, I would say it's available. So, you know, a person has to have the interest to do the activities. That's right. That's kind of why I suggest joining a club, because these people typically have similar interests. But you have to take advantage of the opportunities and say, hey, I'm here, I'd like to go with you, or whatever. For example, I'm actually headed to Machu Picchu here in about 10 days. And that was ski club people that I met from Texas, but they were down in Palm Springs during the summer, last summer. So they were having a conference of which was, you know, ski club people. And I'm not really a manager of the ski club. I just wanted to go and meet people. And I have a couple things I want to do. And hanging around the pool, I met these people who are organizing a trip the following summer, we'll say, it's April, to Machu Picchu, which was on my list. And I have a pretty long list of places I want to go and things I want to see. Well, that one moved all the way up to the top. And before I got out of the pool, I think I said, sign me up. I want to go. So, you know, you got to make yourself available, listen, and be involved. That's all it is. Have fun.
I think that's great. And so do you find that people that tend to be in ski clubs or whatever kind of, sports associated group, do you find that most of them are more adventurous along those lines and they're looking to travel and find other people to hang out with? Because it seems like I said at the beginning of the show, I think that there's a lot of disconnect with people really knowing how to find their people after work.
Well, there might be a disconnect, and that's probably why I said you kind of have to get yourself out there and, right, and start asking questions and looking and be available. I find like-minded people at ski club meetings, you know, social hours, whatever. Of course, you have a list of all their phone numbers, so I can call people. And after a while, you get to know which things people are interested in. As I mentioned, I might do a little bit more than a good majority of the club members, but at least we have an opportunity to see what's being presented on the website for future activities, trips, all the rest. And so if you are interested in them, or somebody that joins the club is interested in the things that the ski club is organizing, you know, you just say, yes, I'll come and I'll be involved. They do lots of things like philanthropic stuff, clean up highways, deliver food. They pack for, pack food delivery bags for different organizations. I mean, there's quite a few different types of things.
Right.
I have found the ski clubs that I belong to actually get themselves involved in.
I think that's really good information as well, because to have that spillover where you can do something to help other people and, you know, kind of take that 40 or 60 hour work week that you used to work and kind of channel your energy and efforts and interests into things that you really enjoy doing, and having mm-hmm. the opportunity to have some, you know, companionship and some like-minded individuals to share those opportunities with.
Yeah, good notice.
Yeah, so I think that it's something, I mean, even if I hadn't have met you and your organization, I don't know that I would have known all these things. So I'm just excited to be able to share that information with the audience so that if they're looking for something like that at this particular stage in their life, or like I said, if they're planning retirement, to know that there's something like that out there so you don't have to go and do all the legwork yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
good point.
That's a really nice opportunity. So anyways, I still have couple more questions I just am dying to ask you, but again, it's time to go to break. So stay tuned and we will be right back.
Spring into savings at North 40 Outfitters. Get your fencing repairs done right with top brands like Tartar OK Brand Fencing and Bakert offering quality posts, gates, and more. Savings up to $200 on select Powerfields and Gallagher Electric Fence Energizers wire and supplies. Stay ready for work ahead with 25% off Noble Outfitters mods. Plus, save $10 on Smith & Rogue shirts. Buy one, get one 50% off work gloves and score free Highland socks when you pick up original canvas pants. North 40 Outfitters. Outfitting. Work and play.
At Kiniksu Community Health, our story begins with a simple truth. It starts with you. Because your human DNA, your mix of strengths, perspectives, passions, and lived experiences is the secret ingredient that makes our work stronger. We don't shrink people to fit roles. We expand roles to fit remarkable humans. We're not looking for perfect copies. We're looking for people who make the team richer, wiser, kinder, and more creative just by being themselves. Join us at Kiniksu Community Health. Apply today at kchni.org.
Welcome back to Pac-Man Hour. Our guest today is none other than Pac-Man himself. So, Pac-Man, tell me about your new Idaho Lottery scratch game. Fascinating. You don't say. And I hear you can win up to $50,000. I could talk to you all day about the new Idaho Lottery Pac-Man scratch game, but Pac-Man, I'm afraid we're out of time. Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise. Pac-Man is registered and copyrighted by Bandai Namco Entertainment Incorporated.
Every 65 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Many don't even know it.
I was lucky. We caught this at the very earliest stages. Pieces of my past are being erased.
Bright Focus Foundation's Alzheimer's Disease Research Program has invested more than $175 million in breakthrough research. Call us at 1-855-345-6237 or visit us online at brightfocus.org/brainhealth to learn more.
Spring at the Co-op means seed potatoes and onion sets. Patty has Stuttgarter yellow and Ebenezer white onion sets due to arrive mid-March. Both are long day varieties suitable to our North Idaho growing season. We expect to have 6 varieties of seed potatoes this year, also arriving in mid-March, including the new Huckleberry Gold and Lasota Red varieties. Huckleberry Gold is prized for its low glycemic index. We have some soil amendments already in the parking lot, as well as peat moss, garden straw, and large bags of coarse perlite and vermiculite. And don't forget, we have plenty of garden tools, gloves, hats, hose repair items, and drip irrigation parts in stock now. It's all at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risk to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. My guest today is Barry Keeney, and he is living a homeless life while working in the world of Medicare insurance. And I don't know, to me, it's kind of living the dream at this particular stage in your life, especially. So I love that for you. And I'm excited to, like I said, share it with the audience. But that being said, I just am a little bit curious. Do you find that there are some disadvantages or challenges that come along with this lifestyle?
Well, I think the challenge might be that everybody likes to have home base.
Yeah.
You know, get back to your regular bed and the lawnmower and just the regular things that, you know, we all have in our lives. And so that would be a trade-off.
Yeah.
And I have intentionally traded that off, so I don't own any property right now. I could be looking, though. I mean, this is a year-by-year adventure that I'm on to try to knock out some of the places I want to see and hike National Park peaks and such, but then a home base is probably the trade-off. I don't have one.
And you know it's on the horizon, or you're kind of sensing it's on the horizon, but you're still happy just the way things are.
I am. Yes, indeed, for now. another year, you know, it's year by year. I'm in my third, going into the fourth year. I think I'll be at least five. Wow. And by then I'll be back and forth to the East Coast several times, obviously North and South several times. And, you know, I'm running the highways of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I think I got more interested in doing that after going to Europe a few times and sort of being out of the country, Mexico and such. And I go, you know, there's so many things to see and play and do in the United States.
Yes.
I'm really focused on it.
Yeah, I think COVID enlightened us a lot to all that. I know that a lot of us just kind of hit the road, so we got to get out and do something different. We discovered the United States, which is not a bad place to explore. So I get that.
All right.
But I think it's I know that when we were talking when we were skiing about how you do take the opportunity to go and spend time with your kids. So I'm wondering if that kind of gives you a little bit of a feeling of that home base that you might miss otherwise.
In many ways it does. They live in four different areas and I have eight grandchildren. And I see them all every 3 months, we'll say. So it is not a monthly thing. However, with that many in my posse, I'm traveling every month going to do something with them or see them. And so I do feel like their home base is mine for that period of time. So that's probably a pretty good point. But I've had my own homes all my life up until just 4 years ago. I had actually three. And so divesting myself of real estate and then not having any HOA bills or property taxes and stuff, I have a lot of free cash to run around and have fun with too. So it's a go anytime I want type of attitude right now. And I kind of like that for now.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it so much about it. So you mentioned when you talk about Machu Picchu that that was on your bucket list. So what else is on your bucket list that you have yet to experience before maybe you settled into a little bit more of a sedentary position? Well, not sedentary, but just somewhere that's a little bit more maybe home. Do you have any big adventures on your horizon?
Well, that's kind of a long list. Let's start with, I have a list of 51 national parks, of which I'm only at 17. 10 of them are in Alaska. I'm going to have a difficult time getting to all of those, if any of them, but I hope to see all the national parks in the lower 48. That's certainly doable, especially if you can drive to them. Let's see. I want to do a bike and barge, be more of a European trip, but you know, 2 or 3 weeks on the small river boat type of cruises where I'm bicycling through the vineyards and, you know, staying at castles and things like that. So that's on the list. I haven't done that yet. My goal with Machu Picchu is actually go twice. This trip that I'm going on is already planned by another group, and it's more travel and guided with airplane tickets already purchased and buses and such. I actually want to take a smaller group another year and hike the peaks of Machu Picchu.
That's a whole different adventure.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of learning from this organizer. All right, how do you get in and out of the country? What are some of the things you've got to be aware of? How to find guides. I mean, just kind of going along as a participant. And then I hope to run a trip with maybe 8 people and have it all organized so that it wouldn't be a surprise for everybody. Everybody knows, okay, it's organized, it's well done, and we're going to hike a bunch. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. You know, and then I've got, you are familiar, I'm sure, with the file box, you know, the banker's box. I have a banker's box full of files of basically, I don't know, 40 or 50 ideas of places I want to go. So during my working life, I would look at travel magazines and life magazines and such and clip out, oh yeah, I need to go there. I want to do that. So I'm working my way through my banker's box.
And I think that's I appreciate you bringing that up because I do recommend that to my clients as well, is that, you know, sometimes if, you know, your mind just closes off when you have so many options available to you that your mind just kind of goes like, I can't even, I don't even know where to start with this, but if you sit down and maybe get some travel magazines, or, you know, if you want to watch shows, and there's tons of travel shows, and just kind of pique your interests on places that you want to go. And like you said, tear them out, put them on a vision board, put them in a file box, put them somewhere. But And that doesn't necessarily just have to be places to go either. It could be cooking classes. It could be, you know, wine tastings. It could be art classes, whatever. But I think that is really kind of a good way to start guiding yourself in directions of doing things that are more meaningful and fulfilling in your life.
You're right.
And there's so many things out there. Like, I just heard about the Harvest Hosts, which you can basically, like, for I think it's some nominal fee of about $150, $180, you can get an RV and go park in vineyards throughout the United States, and they host dinners and do wine tastings and pairings and sit at a long table and overlook under the stars and just be able to submerge yourself in that world and move on to the next place and keep going. So there's so many fun things out there to be experienced. Have you done any of that at all?
Oh yeah. I've been a member of Harvest Host now. Probably longer than I've owned an RV. I've rented RVs before actually purchasing one. And Harvest Host is just this wonderful organization with thousands of places that you stay at for free. They really only allow you one night at a time, but the idea is you get to be introduced to that winery or that farm or that golf course that's offering free parking. And, you know, it is a terrific organization. If you have any RV travel plans at all, I certainly recommend making that membership.
And that's pretty easy to do. You just kind of sign up and then, you know, as long as they have space available, you can do it, right? I mean, it's not something you don't have to book real far in advance or anything like that.
No, 1 day in advance, 2 days, 1 week, and generally not longer than 2 weeks. So they kind of post it on a website. So you just say where you're going. And then all the different types of hosts will populate around the area that you're going. So if you're making a trip, you know, through the state or across the country, you know where you're about where you're going to be in, say, 3 days. You just populate that and say, you know, do I want to stay at a golf course this evening, or do I want to stay somewhere else? And there they all are. And all you do is send an email, and the owner of that establishment responds back, thank you very much for your request. We have space available for you. Come on over.
I think that's great. It's probably a better solution than having to go stay at a KOA campground or somewhere else that, you know, just with a little bit more character and a little bit more opportunity. So I think
it can. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So one other thing I'm kind of curious about is, so how has living this kind of a lifestyle, what have you learned? What would you not know if you hadn't done this?
What would I not know? Well, it's a little tougher to keep a girlfriend.
Okay.
And I don't have a pet just because of my diversity of travel and sort of, I'm not going to call it irresponsible, but my state of wanting to be able to go, like when the snow falls and I don't want to have to find a home for my cat or dog or my plants. So I'm kind of irresponsible when it comes to other living things. And so I didn't know that, didn't really feel that until, okay, I'm gone too much. I cannot have a pet dog right now. It doesn't work out.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I think that's one of those realizations that we come to as we get a little bit older. It's like, well, we kind of done our time. It's been beautiful, but we need a little bit of freedom. So I get that.
Yeah.
Anyways, Barry, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show and to share your wisdom and your novelty for experiencing this particular stage in your life. And I hope that some of the audience will get inspired to do some things similarly, maybe not as grandiose as you, but even like a step in that direction is a good thing. So I appreciate your time and wish you the best of luck on your travels and journeys. And yeah, you should check out Sandpoint in the summer. It's a whole different experience. But again, the rule is you can't tell anybody about it. That's the rule.
Okay. Well, I'm not from California, so Sorry.
No, exactly. Well, anyways, Barry, the best of luck to you. Thank you so much again. And that's our show for today. Be sure and tune in next month. And in the meantime, be sure and get out there and live your life, and really live your life.